We are blessed to have a really wonderful partnership with Evangelical Students, ES, a campus ministry that runs around Australia. And many of us have been really significantly blessed through the ministry of ES, whether that's someone like myself that went to Adelaide University, or many of us that might have, you know, even grown up interstate and connected with ES or an equivalent group somewhere. Lindsay's testimony just last Sunday was a really, really wonderful reflection of how God used ES at North Terrace in bringing her to faith in Jesus. And of course, Matt, who we've already met this morning, if you're new here at church, Matt, it's good for you to know, is part-time here with us as our associate pastor, but also works with ES at North Terrace. But this morning, I'd love to ask you to give a warm welcome to a dear sister and friend who's here every Sunday, but it's nice to clap, isn't it? Lauren, come on up, because I've asked Lauren if she can help us this morning. Now, Lauren works with ES at Flinders Uni, just down the road here. And I've asked Lauren to come up the front and share with us a little bit of what campus ministry looks like, why it's such an exciting and important ministry. But also, because as I spent the time thinking through this passage, I thought, actually, I reckon there's some really tremendous points of contact with the sorts of things that many of our young adults are wrestling with, the sorts of things that a campus ministry is constantly interfacing with. And one of the tremendous blessings of our partnership with ES is that it's not just about us, you know, giving and praying for the work that goes on there, although that is absolutely something that we want to commend, but actually to recognise that there's a tremendous richness in kind of the exchange of experiences and insights. And at that level, Lauren's an expert of ministry amongst young adults and the sorts of things that they're wrestling with. So Lauren, it's great to have you up here. Can you give us, before we jump into the passage that we've just read, can you give us a bit of a snapshot of what campus ministry with ES looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So Simon's already given us a picture of campus ministry. At Flinders, we have a very specific motto. We are a community on campus that exists to know Jesus, love Jesus, and make Jesus known. And within that community, we have Christian students. And it's a space for them to grow in their gospel convictions, to be trained with skills, to share their faith, and to grow and mature in Christian character. But there are also others within our community that are there to explore faith questions, to hear about Jesus often for the first time, and to experience the love of Jesus within a Christian community. So there's that wonderful joining together of both Christian students and, I guess, curious students.
Yeah.
In terms of what that looks like on the ground, we spend a lot of time opening up the Bible with students because the best place to meet Jesus is in his word. We have regular community gatherings. We love eating meals together. There's something really rich and beautiful about that expression of community.
Students love free food.
Absolutely. we do get them to pay for it, though.
Well, that's right. It's cheap food. Yeah.
Cost of living crisis and all that. We train them evangelistically. We do mission with them on campus. And we also take them on lots and lots of camps. But I think a big part of ministry on the ground, and perhaps one of the areas that I invest in the most, is the intentional face-to-face time with students, discipling them up in the Lord Jesus.
Mm. Now, this seems almost a silly question to ask after that beautiful picture that you painted, but what do you find kind of exciting and about all of this?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Like, I consider it a real privilege to work with university students, to step into their life and their spaces and point them to Jesus within that. Mm. If you didn't know already, Gen Zs are amazing. Can I tell you a little bit about them?
Please,
because
yeah.
I think they're pretty cool. Gen Zs, they're really passionate, incredibly empathetic. They value authenticity and have a real openness and hunger for spiritual stuff. Mm. Now, that can express itself in all sorts of different ways. Mm. But we really want to tap into that and encourage them to explore spiritual stuff through Jesus.
Yeah.
And the good thing is that because of their heart and character, when they discover Jesus and decide to follow him, they're all in.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
Because that's the authentic thing to do, right?
That's right.
In a wonderful way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the wonderful thing about that is in being authentic, sharing the gospel then naturally flows out of that sold-out faith. So they get the gospel, they're all in, and then they're keen to share it.
Natural to share. Yeah. Hand in hand with that, as we hear about what happens, in a sense, out there in campus land, whether it's at Flinders or at North Terrace, a very similar picture that Matt would paint for us there. Can you give us just a couple of snapshots, because we'll touch base on this a little later as well, but sort of that partnership between the local church and campus ministry, both how campus ministry grows the local church, but also how local churches like us can help to contribute to what God's doing there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think campus ministry helps grow us at a local church level in many ways. I think it helps us at a heart level. Campus ministry helps to grow us as a church to love and treasure the things that Jesus loves and treasures. So he's on about mission. He's on about welcoming people into the family of God. And that's what we're on about on the ground on campus. But the beautiful thing for all of you is that campus ministry is close to home. It's happening right in your backyard,
just
down the road. And that's really unique and special in that you get to hear and see in really tangible ways what God is doing day to day in the lives of students. And I know for me, that just grows my heart tremendously. In having opportunities to share what God is doing, I hope also that that grows your gospel hearts and your love for what God is doing.
Yeah. Even though it is just down the road, it feels quite separate to us, particularly on a Sunday morning. There's not much happening on campus and we're all here. But what does it mean for you to know that you've got local churches and particularly your own local church in your corner with your back? What's partnership look like as we seek to contribute to the ministry that's happening on campus?
Yeah. I guess in some ways I can tell you about the real practical side of things in that we partner together really practically in this work, in that local churches send their Christian students to us for us to invest in and train and disciple. But also we send back to local churches new Christians who have discovered Jesus on campus and now need a family in which they can be nurtured and grown. So I know some of the people who have been around here at Brighton for a while might remember someone like Jen Custance, who became a Christian at Flinders Uni, plugged into the church here at Brighton and absolutely grew and thrived in this space, but would never have stepped through the doors here at Brighton had it not been for the practical ministry on campus. Yep. And so that's just a beautiful expression of that practical side of partnership that we have.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we will hear a little bit more in a few minutes' time about what it does mean for us to be really prayerfully and even financially supporting the ministry that goes on there. But as we just pause those thoughts, I think it'd be great to turn our minds to the passage that we have read today. Because it might be that you're sitting here thinking, I didn't hear any mention of university students in the passage that that we just read there. You're wondering, what are the connections with campus ministry? Except perhaps with Jesus' comments about earthly fathers giving their children good gifts, and we can all picture some kind of connection with the poor uni student who's rocking up to dad asking for some extra cash, right? Maybe there's a connection there. But I think actually there's a much more profound connection as I've reflected on this passage. I think there are some really helpful parallels for us to thinking through life at university as a young person today. And that there are many things that I think, you know, Lauren brings some really helpful perspective on, but actually this becomes a really wonderful kind of worked example of things that we'll realise we all wrestle with in ourselves. So let me briefly unpack the flow of the passage. And the key thing that I think that Jesus is challenging us with. You see, the Sermon on the Mount has been all about reorienting our perspective. It began with the Beatitudes, didn't it? That began to talk about God's blessing being found in ways and in places that we wouldn't expect at all. Jesus said, blessed are the persecuted. And we think, gosh, you know, we talk about being blessed here, and we pray for persecuted Christians over there. And Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for him. Blessed are those who mourn. And put really simply, that's just like saying, happy are the sad. And that sounds bonkers. It only makes sense if we are willing to radically change our perspective on what makes us happy, what makes us sad, where blessing really is. So Jesus is all about reorienting our perspective. Last week, Jesus reoriented our perspective on the main goal of our life. He's asked us the question, what is the finish line of this race of life that you're running? The world, he says, the world is running around chasing after what are we going to eat and wear and drink and the things of this life. Jesus says, no, life is so much bigger than that. Will you engage? Will you reorient your perspective on the big goal? Will you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness? He's all about reorienting our perspective. In doing so, he doesn't dismiss the material needs of life. He assumes that they're real. But he challenges us to see the much bigger picture, the greater goal of seeking God first and his kingdom. And so as we come to today's passage, Jesus continues to be all about reorienting our perspective. If you don't mind the image of sort of running the race that I've just described, in chapter 6 that we read last week and the week before, Jesus has been reorienting our goal. Where are we going? What are we seeking after? What are we really chasing? The things of this life or God and his kingdom? Today, I think Jesus challenges our perspective on those who run alongside us. He challenges our perspective on those who run alongside us, and in doing so, he actually gets us to think through our perspective on ourselves as well. I just think about the way that the world teaches us to think about those who run alongside us, you know, the people doing life with us. The world is constantly teaching us to look sideways and to compare ourselves with those around us. The world constantly finds our self-worth in reference to our peers, in reference to those who are alongside us. There's this constant comparison game with others around us. It might not have jumped off the page to us in what Tegan just read for us this morning, but here we have Jesus teaching us to find our worth, not in reference to those alongside us, but in reference to God our Father. There's an implicit question that Jesus presents us as he sits down and he teaches his disciples. He says, are you going to find your self-worth in reference to those besides you or in reference to your loving Heavenly Father? And I think that is something that is a particularly pertinent question for most of our uni students, most young adults today. And so that's why I thought, actually, this would be really great to tap into Lauren's wisdom and experience, to hear some of how that plays out. But first, I want us to see how Jesus shows us the way that we tend to operate. Now, Mandy, can you do me a favour and just take us back to a Bible reading and find the very start of it, chapter 7, verse 1. We have this really stark, fairly blunt statement that Jesus makes. It would actually be the sort of thing that goes down really well at the pub or if you're chatting with a friend at the cafe. Do not judge or you too will be judged. That's the kind of mindset that our world can relate to, right? Don't be so judgy. And Jesus says, don't be so judgy. And then he gives a really vivid picture in the bottom of the paragraph that's there on the screen for us from verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And Jesus is presenting to us the way that this world works. Everyone says, don't be judgy, but we're judgy all the time. This is a life that is lived in constant comparison with those who are running alongside us. The world says we lift ourselves up by putting them down because it's the only frame of reference we have. And we put them down by noticing their deficiencies without acknowledging our own. We're constantly looking at the speck in their eye and unwilling to kind of acknowledge the great tree that is stuck in mine. So it's this strange thing. The world hates it, don't be so judgy, but everyone does it all the time. Lauren, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. How do you see that mindset, that sense of constant peer comparison playing out in the uni context with the people that you're in ministry with?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in some ways, it's really built into the whole framework of the uni experience. I think in the academic environment, you see comparison and competition all the time. I see Sue nodding her head there. She knows this well.
Yeah.
So competing for grades, the classic bell curve that pits you against others. Applying for research grants if you're in the research space, that's a fraught field.
Super competitive,
that's,
right?
That's scary. For my students, competing for placements, wanting to get the ideal place to be. But also just navigating the people dynamic of studying alongside others, perhaps in a group project environment, which they hate. Because really, that's when you're face-to-face with people and you see how you compare and line up with those around you. I think at uni, it really is all about how can you get ahead at the expense of others. Mm. But interestingly enough, I think that where we see this play out a lot more is actually less so in the uni environment itself, much more in the online world.
Okay. The social scene of online. Like,
yeah,
you don't mean just reading the news online, but the online social interaction.
Social media, that sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. So Gen Zs, they have a love-hate relationship like social media, probably like the rest of us as well. So they see value in it, but also hate what it is at the same time. But the thing is, it still has a really big impact on them. And when it comes to comparison and competition, sometimes it's really overt. You know, you see people pitting themselves against others. But I think a lot of the time it expresses itself much more as internalised competition and comparison.
The sense of how do I measure up?
That's right. Exactly.
Picture that's been presented.
Yep. So it's all about thinking, you know, what is my self-worth? How does that measure up to others? How do I present my best self? Am I getting enough likes and follows to sort of build myself up and tell me, you know, what my value and worth is? Mm. And it's really easy in that space to start forming judgments about others, but also about yourself in relation to others. I think, you know, in some senses what I'm saying is unique to Gen Zs, but I'm sure we all sort of feel and experience that same thing in our lives. I think this world of comparison, competition, pitting ourselves against each other is just so deeply entrenched in our culture and world.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I totally agree. It's not having a dig at uni students or a particular generation, because I think we can all hear what you're describing, you think, yeah, that's just playing out on LinkedIn for me professionally. or that's playing out in the mother's group where I'm just constantly confronted with my own mother guilt because I feel like everyone else is doing a better job, or I kind of help myself feel good in the workplace or the schoolyard or wherever it might be because, well, I can see how I'm doing better than they are. That constant sense of comparison and competition. That'll be clear, Jesus isn't implying that we should have no regard at all for other people, no judgment at all of what is good or bad or right or wrong. I mean, the whole point of what he says here is that you actually need to, if we scroll down the next screen for us, Mandy, on the Bible passage there, he says actually you should deal with the log in your eye so that you can help your brother with the speck in his. There is a sense in which the loving thing to do is recognize others have specks and it would be good to take them out of their eyes so that we can help them in that. But now, with the perspective that Jesus is giving, he's actually calling us to do that in love, not in judgment, not constantly looking down on others, but looking for ways to be humble in ourselves. Okay, I need to deal with my log, and generous to others. And that's really possible because of the shift that took place halfway through our Bible passage. The reoriented perspective that Jesus then turns to from verses 7 to 11. So, Mandy, do you mind scrolling for us? Because Jesus has some of his most famous words here. He says, ask, seek, and knock. It'll be the next paragraph along. Thanks, Mandy. Oh, no, it's right at the bottom of what we've got there. Ask, seek, and knock. Because Jesus reassures his disciples, you will receive, you will find, you will be welcomed. And we think this, we've got to see how radically different this is to the world that Jesus spoke into, to the world that we live in, because it is a universal offer to all. He doesn't say, if you've made the grade, ask and you'll receive. He said, just ask, knock, Seek, all of you, however glamorous you are, however acceptable, proficient, popular you are or are not. Why is it possible? It's not because of who is doing the asking and the knocking, but who we are asking and whose door we are knocking on. That's the point that Jesus makes as he turns to the love of our Heavenly Father, as Matt illustrated with the kids this morning, that if you in all of your sinfulness know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? It's the place of security, knowing the love of our generous Heavenly Father, it's the place of security that allows us to relate to others in love rather than competition. So we can run through this race of life together, not competing with them for attention, but actually knowing who we are in our Father's sight, his generous care for us, that I don't have to lift myself up by placing others beneath me, but I can actually invite them to turn with me to the one who loves us both. I think it's what the world longs for, that sense of worth, of self-esteem, that actually comes to us not by comparison, but rather by God's esteem of us. The world doesn't know where to find it, but we have it, because we know that our worth is not based on our capacity to be lovely or to get the likes, as you know, the university students wrestle with online. It's not based on our capacity to be lovely, but upon our Heavenly Father's capacity to love. Our famous evangelist of last century, Billy Graham, a timeless phrase, he said, "The ground is level at the foot of the cross." It's a wonderful phrase, worth kind of remembering, worth drilling into our minds when we're buying into the way the world thinks in a constant game of comparison. Now, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And it seems to me that this is how the gospel of God's grace in Jesus not only transforms our relationship with God as our Father, but actually our relationships with each other, which is what I think Jesus has on view at this point in his sermon. Are we playing the comparison game? Are we constantly trying to lift ourselves up in comparison with others, so often by putting them down? Or are we loving others from a place of security because we know that our loving Heavenly Father loves to hear us ask and to seek and to knock, that he might share with us from his abundance? It's a different way of kind of thinking, different window on the gospel, isn't it? And Lauren, I'd love to hear in your experience on campus some of the reflections that you have on the way that aspect of the gospel, that perspective on the gospel, relationally, how it impacts our relationship with our peers because of a certainty that we have, an assurance that we have in relationship with our Father. Have you seen how that element of the gospel has really hit the ground for people, or really perhaps, you know, gone to the heart for them, been really significant?
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably doesn't even need to be said, but competition and comparison is exhausting and it's crushing. And what I hear from my students constantly is they really don't want to have to be perfect. Mm. They want to be secure in who they are and secure in where they belong or who they belong to. Mm. And this is where the gospel really transforms things. When they come to know and recognise the security and belonging that comes from being a much loved child of God, they can be freed from that comparison game and be brave to step into relationships of vulnerability and humility rather than judgment. Mm. Can I share with you a little bit about what this means and look like from an evangelism perspective?
Brilliant, yeah, please.
Yeah, yeah. So this all has a really big impact when it comes to evangelism, because sharing your faith does require that vulnerability and humility in order to relate to others.
Because we're always thinking, gosh, if I open my mouth and say I'm a Christian, what are they going to think of me?
That's right.
Where am I going?
Yeah, it's relationships at stake. Yeah. That's it. It's people's perception of me. That is that big barrier to stepping into that space. But what we're constantly seeing is that the message of the gospel brings confidence. Because of the work of Jesus, these students can actually be secure in their relationships with others because they're secure as God's children. And as the love of the Father transforms their life and they come to see that the gospel is really good, the Father gives good gifts, what that means is they start to see, oh, actually, the gospel could be really good for my friends as well. And that just builds excitement and enthusiasm and a willingness to put it on the line because they know that the gospel is good and it's something that they want to share with others. And it's what their friends truly need and are actually searching for in their constant striving for security and, and belonging.
Can I
share just one more thing?
Please. Yeah, please.
Awesome. This week is actually a big week for us on campus.
Okay.
In the lead up to Easter, we do an Easter mission.
Yes.
So this week will actually be a huge opportunity for our students to actually express their confidence and security in the Father as they interact with people on campus. So we have an Easter stall. Where we set ourselves up in a public place on campus and seek to interact with people we've never met before, which can be scary because they might judge you.
Yeah.
Or maybe even as Christian students, we might look at them and think, oh, well, surely they, you know, they're too far from God's grace.
Well, don't we do it? We either think, oh, they've got it all sorted out.
Yeah.
So is Jesus ever going to get a look in? Or they're way too far gone, you know. Like, or am I the only person that thinks such terrible thoughts?
Yeah,
it's the way our world works, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet the gospel cuts right through that.
That's right, exactly. And so it will all be about emphasising to our students who is stepping to that stall space that actually you are known and loved by a good Heavenly Father, and so you can be confident as you share. So we'll be asking students questions. We've got a little Jesus versus AI survey that we're going to do. So asking what are the words of Jesus versus what does AI throw at you? We'll be giving away hot cross buns and Easter eggs because we're in a post-Christian space now. So lots of people just have no idea or understanding of Jesus. And then the big thing is Thursday night, we're having a dialogue dinner. And this is where they have to hold tightly to the love of the Father in being brave to extend invitations to friends and classmates to step into a space where they'll hear the gospel.
Yeah.
So we'd really value prayers for that week.
So for those of us who might not have been to a dialogue dinner 20 years ago when we were at on campus, it's the opportunity to come along to dinner. When I'm inviting a friend to dinner, I'm giving them the heads up. This is the chance to enter into dialogue around why Jesus and who he is and what it's about. There'll be someone there that's done a little bit of prep around that, but then there's also going to be a whole lot of conversation over the meal that takes place, isn't it? So there's nowhere to hide as the Christian person inviting your non-Christian along, your non-Christian friend along. And yet on the other hand, it's actually inviting them into dialogue to hear of this Father who loves them with the kind of
love and security
that we've talked about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, it's hard to think of a better opportunity for us as a local church to be partnering with what God is doing on campus than to be praying over the next week. You've just heard from Lauren some of the things that are happening. If you're in the workplace, you're chatting to people in the school community, that whatever it might be, you kind of get that, Easter opens up a few opportunities. These guys on campus, they're not just waiting for them there. They're seeking to create those opportunities for really great conversation around this Easter season. So wouldn't it be wonderful for us to be praying that God would really, both at Flinders Uni, North Terrace, I know, doing similar things at University of South Australia and Adelaide, that he would be helping people to meet Jesus and reassuring them, introducing them to the great hope that we have because of what Jesus has done for us. I've got one of these. Lauren's also got these down at the welcome table and would love to be able to chat with you about them. Just some little bags of further information of what goes on campus, further information for how we can be getting behind Lauren, particularly in the work that she's doing, but more generally in the work that ES does on our university campuses. Down at the welcome table, grab your coffee, or even better, while you're standing in the coffee line, we should move the table, put it beside the coffee line. So come and chat with Lauren and find out how you you can be a part of the work that God's doing on campus as we support her and the team. And she tells me that there's actually a tea bag and some bickies in here, because the intent is that you'll go home and you'll find a nice moment in your day and brew a cup of tea, sit down with some bickies and have a read through and then a pray through some of the things that you'll read about here. I'd love to encourage us as a church to keep thinking through how we get behind the ministry that Lauren is engaged with on our campuses. Lauren is gracious to let us know about the great work that's happening without saying, yeah, but actually she needs to put food on the table and pay for the bills. And so one of the really tangible things that we can do to support Lauren and the broader team is by getting on board financially with the ministry that's happening there. You'll find out information about that in the pack, won't they? Will they? Yes, they will. Yes, good. In that information pack there. But to continue to be praying for the great work that Jesus is doing amongst the young people on our campuses. I also just want to wrap us up by reflecting, as we have heard, of the particular ways that Lauren's kind of seeing some of the points of connection between the shift in perspective that Jesus gives and how that plays out on campus, for each of us to reflect in our own situation. Yeah, how does that play out? Both in my tendency to look down on others, also in my tendency to just feel the insecurity myself because I am constantly comparing with others. But then also to reflect on how actually knowing the secure love of my Heavenly Father enables, it, as Lauren says, it frees me to love generously others around me because I know the love that God has showered upon me. I shared in an email to most of our church this week a wonderful prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. It'll be what my wife Peter and I are praying over the next couple of months as we head off on long service leave. We'll be praying for you, but praying for all of us as a local church community. From Ephesians chapter 3, that we will be so rooted and established in the love of God that we might have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is God's love for us in Jesus. Paul says, to know this love which surpasses knowledge. So that's an endless project, right? It's from that prayer that Paul urged the Ephesians to live out the kind of loving, selfless encouragement that Jesus described in this passage. Jesus finishes his passage saying, well, because you know the love of your Heavenly Father, then do to others what you'd have them to do to you. Because you no longer have to compete and fight and put them down. You can love others because you're secure in the love that God has shown us in Jesus. I'm going to pray really briefly in light of that, and then I need to remind myself who I'm handing over to as we continue on. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your profound love for us, a love that we struggle to get our heads around, because you have shown us that your love for us is not based on our capacity to be lovely, our ability to show ourselves as standing out from the crowd better than the others, making the grade. Father, you love us not because we're lovely, but because you are love. I think we struggle, Lord, to really come to terms with that. And so we want to pray, just as Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that you would enable us to grasp the height and depth and width and length of your love for us, that in turn you might free us from the rat race of constant competition and comparison. And Father, enable us to treat others as we would love to be treated ourselves, to treat others as you have treated us first. Father, please keep reorienting our perspective. Help us to do that first and foremost by fixing our eyes on Jesus and seeing the wonder of all that you have already done for us in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, I'm going to invite the band to come on up and lead us in prayer. There's an opportunity for youth to head out and chat through some of the things that we've just been talking through. And if it plays out really helpfully on campus, we can be sure that it plays out at school as well. But why don't we just thank Lauren for being so generous and giving us some insight into her day job and the work that God's doing on campus. Thanks, Lauren.